White. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, March 15, 1905. Dear son Edson, I have slept but little the past night. You have been represented to me as laying out many plans. You had written out on paper some things you desired to carry out. One who guards your interests stood by your side and said, "You are not to carry out your present purposes. These plans will prove a snare to you and will hinder you in the work you should do with pen and voice. You are inclined to make unnecessary burdens for yourself. No sooner is your mind relieved from one perplexity than you plan to engage in some other enterprise." The heavenly messenger continued, "Bind about your plans. You need now to gather your thoughts, not to launch out into new perplexities. Take time to prepare yourself to do a work with pen and with voice in the ministry of the word. You should withdraw from all contention. Let the peace of God dwell in you richly, representing in heart, mind, and soul the work of grace upon the human character. Cultivate the principles of peace. There must be less friction and more harmonious action with your brethren. You gather on your soul burdens that you should not carry. Serve the Lord by whole-souled consecration. If you allow your character to be defective, these defects will lead others to question your religious standing. Free yourself from everything that brings in perplexities and grievous trials. The words of Paul to Timothy are appropriate for every church member. Take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. To thyself first, and then to the doctrine." 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. The ministry is a sacred office. Let the inner lamp of the soul be kept trimmed, that it may ever reflect the precious light from heaven. Then you may discern the voice of God as you read His word and as you pray in meekness and humility of mind. Take time to pray, and then believe that God hears you. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. James 1, verse 5. Do not give utterance to complaints against any. Keep your mouth closed as with a bridle against all accusations, lest there be implanted in other minds thoughts that will work injury to their brethren. God wants you to stand upon an elevated platform. Draw not a thread of selfishness into the fabric of your character. Pray earnestly that your heart may be refined and purified from all dross and filled with the knowledge of God in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Colossians 1, verse 10, 11. Your countenance lighted up as you replied, "I will not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with my imperfections of character. I will not offend God with my lips. I consecrate myself unto my Lord, who has redeemed me by the sacrifice of His own life." These words were spoken, "You must always set before you the highest standard of duty, acting in the fear and love of God. Give no place to Satan's temptations. The time has come when things must be called by their right names. The truth is to triumph gloriously, and those who have long been halting between two opinions must take their stand decidedly for or against the law of God. Some will take up with theories that misinterpret the word of God and undermine the foundation of the truth that has been firmly established, point by point, and sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. The old truths are to be revived, in order that the false theories that have been brought in by the enemy may be intelligently met. There can be no unity between truth and error. We can unite with those who have been led into deception only when they are converted. There is a God, and I am commissioned to say that His truth must be vindicated, that the evil, seductive theories that are coming in may be uprooted. Many minds have been taken captive because for years they have placed confidence in someone who has prepared a dish of scientific fables to suit their appetite. We may well be alarmed at the crisis that is upon us. God's law has been transgressed, and the result is seen in the misrule and lawlessness that floods the world. Human lives are regarded as of little value. The spirit of disaffection is running riot. The inhabitants of the Noachic world were destroyed because, after being granted a period of 120 years in which to choose between the evil and the good, they deliberately chose to follow their own wicked ways. Because they did not avail themselves of the opportunity God gave them to repent and turn to Him, they were destroyed by the flood.
Once again, before the great destruction of the world by fire, there is granted a period of test and trial. Men are given opportunity to show whether or not they will be loyal to God. Satan is seeking to lead men in positions of trust to seek the regeneration of the world by plans of their own devising. These men desire to be reformers, but they fail because they do not work in Christ's lines. Can they reform others when they cannot reform themselves? Men are today being tested to see if they will obey the law of God. In the beginning, Satan promised Eve that if she would only follow his suggestion, she would be greatly increased in knowledge. And today he leads men to look for great blessings to come as a result of following their own unsanctified plans. Many choose to believe the words of a fallen angel rather than the words of God. Man's only hope is in repentance and conversion. The word of God came to Isaiah. "Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins." Isaiah 58, verse 1. As God's witnesses, we have a message to bear to all the world. The Lord has many children who have never heard the truth for this time. God's servants must give them the final warning. Soon the Lord will demonstrate to the universe of heaven the utter inability of men to reform the world while they themselves are living in transgression of the law of God. He is about to set aside the transgressors of His law, as He would cast away a despised and polluted vessel. The years of man's probation are soon to close. The great men of earth, the kings, the princes, and the statesmen will soon perish. Wickedness will come to an end. The little moment of time still remaining is most precious to those who, while making a profession of Christianity, have disregarded the laws of God. Will they now turn to Him before it is too late?